Devam bhavayatanena.
Devam bhavayatanena.
Te deva bhavayantu vaha.
Te deva bhavayantu vaha.
Parasparam bhavayanta.
Parasparam bhavayanta.
Shreyak param avapsyata.
Shreyak param avapsyata.
Please chant. Devam bhavayatanena. Parasparam bhavayantaha. Shreya param avapsyata. Devan bhavayatanena. Te deva bhavayantu vaha. Parasparam bhavayantaha. Shreyak param avapsyata. Devan, demigods, bhavayata, having pleased anina by this sacrifice, te, those devaha, demigods, bhavayantu, will please vaha, you, parasparam, mutually. Bhavayantaha, pleasing one another. Shreya, benediction. Param, the supreme. Avapsyata, you will achieve. Translation, the demigods being pleased by sacrifices will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Dainiti Prabhu, could you do the purport, please, with the microphone?
Report. The demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. The supply of air, light, water, and all other benedictions for maintaining the body and soul of every living entity is entrusted to the demigods, who are innumerable assistants in different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajnas by the human being. Some of the yajnas are meant to satisfy particular demigods, but even in so doing, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yajnas as the chief beneficiary. It is stated also in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna himself is the beneficiary of all kinds of yajnas, bhoktaram yajna tapasham. Therefore, ultimate satisfaction of the yajnapati, the chief purpose of all yajnas,
Is the chief purpose.
When these yajnas are perfectly performed, naturally the demigods in charge of the different departments of supply are pleased, and there is no scarcity in the supply of natural products. Performance of yajnas has many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from material bondage. By performance of yajnas, all activities become purified. As it is stated in the Vedas, ahara, ahara, soro, sattva, suri, sattva, surau, juva, smriti, smriti, lambe, sarva, grantinam, vipra, moksha. By performance of yajna, one's eatables become sanctified, and by eating sanctified foodstuffs, one's very existence becomes purified. By the purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified. And when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation. And all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness, the great necessity of present-day society.
So what does this mean to all of us? Give him the mic. He has an important pronouncement. Tell us more, expound on this. Tell us what verse, tell everyone what verse you just gave, and then tell why it's important.
Prasadi Sarva Dukanam, Mandi Rasupjayate, the one that we sing after the, during the Prasadam, before Prasadam. One who eats the sanctified food, all the miseries, threefold miseries of human life are taken away. So, sadhya sarvadukkhanam, annirasa bhajayate, prasanna chetsa ayatsa. So, once the threefold miseries are taken away, one is established in this.
Prasanna means his consciousness becomes happy.
His consciousness
and buddhi.
His intelligence is firmly
fixed. Yeah. So Gaur's point is that, as in this verse, Prabhupada's pointing out, when you take the remnants of sacrifice, because everyone has to eat, it's the most essential thing called anamoy. It starts off, the consciousness of life is everything anamoy, something for eating, goes in the mouth. Everyone can relate to this. In fact, people get stressed, they just eat. But as a matter of fact, in the lowest forms of life, it's called anamoy. It's just consciousness of I have to eat. And so fact is, we do have to eat. Everyone has to eat. We're all dependent, really. We're all dependent at every second. In fact, take a deep breath right now. Take a nice deep breath. It feels good. Let it out. There's great satisfaction in that breath, isn't it? Actually, you think there's a time in which you took your first breath in this lifetime. When the umbilical cord is cut, that's when you take your first breath. Because up till then, the umbilical cord's supplying the oxygen. But as soon as the umbilical cord is cut, you take your first breath, that umbilical cord it goes dead. Like it dies. And then now you're breathing. You say, now I'm breathing independently. Oh, he's an independent. No, he's not independent. It's like we go from umbilical cord, we can realize, we see that cord, how dependent the baby is on the mother, right? Absolutely dependent. What the mother eats, the child eats. When the mother breathes, if the mother breathes, the child breathes too. That's where he's getting all the oxygen, he's getting all the food, everything. It's coming from the mother. So now when the umbilical cord's cut, and you say, oh, he's independent now. No. You're totally dependent on the environment. Take your breath. And the food, where is it coming from? Safeway. It's packaged. It comes, I get my bread from Safeway. If the trucking shuts down, then I'm in trouble. That's actually when people start thinking about a little bit. Remember sometime with the earthquake, things like that, the trucks couldn't come in, Dine Edie couldn't drive around in his truck. And so then, no bread. On the shelf. What do you mean no bread in Safeway? I can't get bread. Bread comes from Safeway. It comes from that package. I get up. No, it comes from grains. The grains come from the field. The field, they don't grow if there's no water. There's a natural progression. It's coming from God. It's coming from the demigods. It's being performed. And so you just take these things and we don't think. There's no consciousness, no gratitude, no sacrifice. So when one's taking these types of things without sacrifice, they're not sanctified. The consciousness isn't there. And one becomes dull, and one becomes atmaha. Atmahati. He kills his soul and becomes deadened to the actual reality of his existence, of his dependence on the Lord. His consciousness becomes more and more covered. But here, just by taking the remnants of sacrifice, when one eats prasadam, then one's life becomes blessed just by prasadam, by taking the remnants of something you offered. It's a simple thing. It's an act of consciousness to offer what's been given to us back to the Lord and then accept it as remnants and appreciate it. This is prasadam. Then one's consciousness becomes fixed. As Gaur gave us this wonderful verse that your misery will go away by this. Why am I so unhappy? Because you're eating horrible things. And why am I so dull? Because you're eating horrible things. And why is my intelligence not fixed? It's because of your diet. That's the problem. So if you eat prasadam, if you take the remnants of the food offered to the Lord, then you get finer intelligence. You get happiness. It's coming from this. What other thing did you get from hearing this? What other great point? What does it mean to us? How's this verse changed my life going home tonight? How should I adjust? It's just a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It's just historical, right? Doesn't really mean anything. Yes?
We are performers and give the Nirmala, that's our power of beauty, to go ahead and so that the demigods are satisfied, and that way the prosperity will bring for all of us.
Let's give him a big jai. Jai, Haribo! Thank you very much. What a nice point. You know, we have our Sankirtan Yajna, our prescribed Yajna. And we talked about this last week, how this is an authorized Yajna in the age of Kali. By performing the Sankirtan Yajna, you completely please the Lord. The Lord's easily pleased in the Kali Yuga because he comes as Chaitanya Nitai. And you know, when devotees have put deities of Guru Gauranga in their house, and they asked Prabhupada, how do we worship these deities? Prabhupada said, you please them, you worship them by Sankirtan. That's how you please Guru Gauranga. And they're the emperors of Kali Yuga. They're the incarnation. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for the age of Kali Yuga. So to perform perfect yajna, one should concentrate on Sankirtan. Right, Dayanidhi Prabhu? Concentrate on Sankirtan. This means the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord and spreading this holy name to every town and village by chanting, by distributing books, by distributing prasadam, by preaching the word. Yare deke tara kara Krishna upadesh amara gnaya guru hanatara edesh. This is the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that just go from place to place, everyone you meet, everywhere you go, teach them about Krishna. Tell them about that. Say?
No, it's just saying the
verse. Oh, saying the verse. So this is our yajna. What else? How does this verse change my life, Nilesh? Prabhu? I mean, I'm sorry, Kishore.
Ultimately leads to liberation.
Yeah?
It ultimately leads to liberation.
How does it lead to liberation?
By performance of yajnas, all activities become purified, as it is stated in the Vedas.
Get from the microphone. You got to use that. No one can hear you.
So by performance of yajna, all activities become purified, since everything is related to, just like you mentioned, that we worship those things which are related to the Supreme Lord. They're equally potent as the Lord. So as we are worshipping the Lord by doing yajna, we are also associating with the items that are related to the Lord.
That's a nice point. Yajna purifies everything. And don't mind me, my mom and dad used to call it, hey Tom, hey Pete, call me by my brother's name. Oh no. So, this yajna, it purifies everything. And so let's talk a little bit about this, because I want to talk about practical things. We read Bhagavad Gita, we have to make this practical in our life. We go home and we have to actually see how my life is changing by hearing this verse. What am I must become impressed by this verse. So Gaurav Prabhu is saying that yajna, it actually purifies everything that we do. So tell us how it applies really to our life.
One of the things that is said in the purport is that by performing this yajna, we are in a sense doing yajna for Krishna, for the Supreme Personality. So in performing the yajna, we are as such watering that root of that tree, if an analogy can be given, that in watering the root of the tree, that water that you provide nourishes all parts of the tree. And so the primary thing that one needs to do is just water the root of the tree so that everybody can benefit. So in this case, by performing yajna, we are actually doing it for the Lord. And therefore, by this analogy, all good things and all good benefits, therefore, will come to those who are performing the yajna.
Now, somebody, I want to hear some realizations. Thank you very much. Very nice point. Let's hear some realization how you've experienced this in your life, in your own life, in your own practice, how yajna has made you happy. or how yajna has actually affected you in such a way? Have you had a moment of realization where you feel, well, I'm doing yajna, now I'm happy? Because sometimes we think, the mind might say, oh, why should I do yajna? I should do the, in fact, the mind's always saying this. This is our problem. Kama dinam katina katita palita durni deshas, Rupa Goswami says, that I've been working for this mind and senses since a time immemorial. They've been slave drivers, bad masters, just like some devotees here tell me about the work that they do. And they say, how's your work going? Not very good. What's the matter? Bad boss. Bad situation. I got to work for these. You got to go in every day, and then there they are. But this is how we've been living. The soul actually has been working under these bad masters. Kama dinam katina katita palita durni deshas. Durni deshas means bad masters. You know, we're actually subjected. We're living right with them, the mind. Hey, let's go do this now. Well, isn't that a bad, like, sinful thing to do? Yeah, but let's do it anyway. Doesn't that lead to degradation? It's, yeah, no problem. We're being told to do all these things. We're being driven, you know, by the bad masters. And so this is a problem. But we hear about this, do yajna. You must repeat namam. You have to repeat the names of God. You have to do yajna. So yajna means there's some tapasya involved too, right? Because the mind says, let's go fly a kite. Let's go have a stack of pancakes. Let's go do anything else but some yajna, right? And then you say, no, I'm going to do my yajna. I'm not going to go fly a kite. I'm not going to have a stack of pancakes right now. I'm going to go, instead of the International House of Pancakes, I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to worship my deity. I'm going to chant namam. I'm going to sit and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Yeah, let's sit down right here. And the mind goes, no, pancakes. Stack of pancakes, International House of Pancakes. 7 or 8 kinds of syrup, whipped cream, dollop of butter. That's what I want. And you're going, no, I'm doing my yajna. I'm going to do yajna. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. Because you're taking a stand there to do yajna in your life. And you're saying, I'm a soul. I'm not just a anamoy. I'm not just a anamoyi. Just to eat pancakes. That won't make me happy. You know? So I sit and I chant Hare Krishna. I'm doing some yajna. Do I get any realization? Do I actually, what's the benefit? That's what I want to hear. Like, who has had this experience where you do your yajna and then you realize your life, now I actually become happy. I become liberated. I become satisfied. Did I cut somebody off? Somebody was just in the process of about to tell me something, right? Your realization of how yajna, how this is practical in your life. Malini, give her the mic.
That actually might satisfy our senses, but may not satisfy our soul. So many people, they go out to the movies, and before they go out to the movies, they think that I have to watch this movie. I have to, like, with great ambition and anxiety, they go to the movie. And as soon as they come out of the movie, they say, oh, what a useless waste. Or like I have a severe headache or something like that. We think that we would be satisfied, but the senses, like, they're always hankering. They can never be satisfied. Even we can give them whatever they like, but still, like, it's like pouring petrol over fire or something like that. But if we sacrifice that time when we want to do something else, but if we want to, if we utilize the same time in chanting, then we feel satisfied because that is a desire of the soul. Like, because when we chant, then that is where it connects with the soul, not with just our senses. It's not a superficial happiness, but the real internal happiness. So since the soul is satisfied, we automatically feel satisfied. But with the other way with the senses is that no matter how much you try to satisfy them, they are never satisfied. So it's like, as you were saying, bad masters who will never be satisfied.
Thank you very much. You know, sometimes we wake up in the morning, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say, in the morning time, I beat my mind with shoes. In the evening time, I beat it with broomsticks. So, you know, we go to sleep at night with all good intentions, wake up in the morning, next thing, who shows up? Our old enemy, the mind. You know, it's like, eh, let's do some sadhana, let's do some yajna, eh. You know, then you have to actually... you know, take charge and say, no, we're going to do yajna. We're going to do this sankirtan. We're going to chant, japa, do these things. And it's only initially that the mind thinks it won't be satisfied, but even the mind and intelligence becomes satisfied. When you read Bhagavad Gita, like one thing you can do, first thing you get up, do your chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Do one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. First thing when you wake up, don't do anything else. Start your day like that. Then your intelligence becomes clear. And Bhagavad Gita is so satisfying. You hear that instruction. It goes in the mind. And even the mind that's thinking, oh, I want an international house of pancakes. But you hear the Bhagavad Gita, then the mind goes, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty nice. What about the other chapters? What else is there? Then the intelligence comes in and goes, yeah, I can see how this works. The modes are working. You know, we don't want to go to an international house of pancakes. Let's have some prasadam. You know, then... everything starts working properly when we do yajna because we're connecting with Krishna. If you go to a household where devotees are doing yajna, where the house is centered around the deity, you'll feel happy. You feel satisfied. Otherwise, you go to a house where the TV's on and, you know, kids are running wild because they don't get any yajna in their life. You know, their center isn't there. I've been in homes where the center of the house is the deity. Now, of course, kids want to do what they want to do, you know, but they're like the mind also. You have to direct them towards yajna. You have to teach them, no, here's your duty. Come in here. Like I see some households, everyone has a duty for the deities. You come down, even if it's small duty for the little ones, they come in and it's like, okay, you take the old flowers off, put it in this little pot. You go get the tulsi leaves. Somebody else, fill up the water pot. Everyone has their little thing. And even kids, they may not know philosophy or anything, even when they're young, but they know, they have that feeling, the deity's there, they're doing the yajna, and then a little chanting before you eat, something, 5 minutes even, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and even the kids' minds, they get into it, and then you actually feel happy because the holy name appears, and Krishna's there, and you're making a plate, and okay, where are we taking this? First to Krishna, do the yajna, put the plate down. Make the offering. Say some prayer. You know, Krishna will accept it. He says, Patram pushpam bhalam toyam yome bhakti prayashati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatapman. This is practical. It's actually real life. And then if you take some time out to go on pilgrimage, everyone should take some time out. Go on pilgrimage sometime. Go to some place. Give up your work for some time to go to some pilgrimage place. When you go on pilgrimage, you have to drop everything. Oh, what's going to happen? Everything will come to a halt. I'll lose money, people calling, this, that. No, go away. See what happens. Practice. Because when at time of death, you have to go away. And then everyone at death who's not practiced, what are they thinking? Oh, I'm going to go away. How will things go on? They'll go on fine. You're not the center of the universe. Krishna is. And if you learn, if you practice, I'm going to give up now and go on pilgrimage and let things go on. You'll see Krishna takes care of it. We're not the center of it. And then you go and please Krishna because you took time off and he sees you hanging around in the holy dham or some other place doing yajna. Yes, Rakshit.
Another realization that comes to mind when you're talking about connecting to the Lord via yajna, as you're mentioning, I was reminded about what some writers have written about Bhakti Yoga, like Shrutadev recently circulated a pamphlet on it. And he was pointing out that when one is doing yajna and chanting the name, he said that that is different from doing meditation, because in meditation you are focusing on the mind or silencing the mind, whereas in Bhakti Yoga or chanting, he said that the connection that is occurring is through the heart. There is the linking process actually is through the heart. And that bliss or happiness that is derived is because of that connection. The center is the heart, not the mind. Mm. And also that one is connecting to the Lord, he's seated in the heart, the super soul. The soul, the point that was made earlier that you are connecting to the soul, is also seated in the heart. So I was just reminded that this bliss and happiness that is an outcome of this activity is very unique. It's probably not even realized in meditation because that's the mental connection that is here, that is the linkage through the heart. Then Shrutadeva has written about this, that one realized this connection in Bhakti Yoga.
Thank you very much. I could say, yes, Gaurav. He's on a roll. Give him the microphone. Yes.
So,
turn it on. Turn it all the way on. There you go.
So at this point, say, by performance of yajnas, all activities become purified. And here, Lord Chaitanya, first verse from Shikshashtaka, Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto jat darbana mayam, bhava mahat, dalavine vaparam. So glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, and thus extinguishes the fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction of humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction movement. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Sorry, I'm not a very good public speaker.
No, I just looking at you, I get happy because you're so enthusiastic for Sankirtan. Just seeing Gaurav's face makes me feel satisfied because he's so happy to be here. So this is the fact. Cheto darpana marjanam. The consciousness becomes purified by this one yajna, this Sankirtan yajna. It's a very practical thing too. You know, thing is that... it's practical, you can feel. I know, like, if I go to a big festival, you can go to these big festivals in ISKCON, right? And this is just personal realization, I'm telling you. You go to a big festival like Los Angeles Rath Yatra. How many devotees have been to Los Angeles Rath Yatra? Raise your hand. How many of you have been to any Rath Yatra in ISKCON? Okay, so then you know what I'm talking about. Because here's my own personal realization. I'm just going to give it to you. You can go to these big festivals, and you can sort of stay on the periphery. It means you can go there as sort of like a tourist. You go and you go to the program and you can hear kirtan and listen to class. Very nice. You'll feel something. And then the rest of the day you can hang out. Maybe take a little break, go down and, you know, visit Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland, come back, have a little prasadam at Govinda's, or hang out, or even, you know, higher level, you can maybe go to the, you know, you can stay on the street, Watseka Avenue, and you can talk to the devotees. Well, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you doing? I'm all right. What is it? And back forth. Nice to talk to the devotees. But there's a deeper level. There's a thing when you go, you can engage in service. If you go into the kitchen, for instance, and you ask for some seva, there's a world of difference between getting some actual service there, someone who'll give you some service, and you go in and beg and say, please, give me some seva. And you say, do this, put on an apron, put on a hat, go cut up some vegetables. Soon as I start cutting vegetables or cooking something or being right in the middle of the yajna, then I actually feel satisfied. And I don't want to come out of that. I don't even want to come out of the center of that, you know, that yajna. That's where real happiness is. I'll tell you another one. I know when I was younger in Krishna consciousness, we used to go every day on Sankirtan, every day without fail. And I know my whole life was happy, being in the temple, taking prasadam with the devotees, but the happiest time of my day is as soon as I got back on Sankirtan. I mean, actually out there in the place where I was going to distribute. That street corner or that part of the airport or wherever I was going with my book bag, and I actually got there in that corner, and I was set up. I actually felt like I'm home. Now I'm satisfied. I don't want to be anywhere else. Yam labvam chaparam labvam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You realize there's no greater gain than this. So when you get this happiness from devotional service, you actually feel like there's no greater gain. I can't get it. And when Prabhupada left the planet, we didn't know where to turn, what to do, because he was our only light, really. That's how we felt. Because, you know, there was Prabhupada and then a bunch of kids running around. Really, that's what it was. Prabhupada was there and a bunch of kids. And, you know, there were 21-year-olds managing huge world projects, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. 21-year-olds, 25-year-olds. And, you know, when you're dealing with 21-year-olds, 25-year-olds, especially coming from Western culture, whatever, anything can happen, and, you know, everything did. And when Prabhupada left the planet, the day he left, I was in New York City, and I had a service going to the airport every day with my godbrother, Pragosh, and we used to go every day to LaGuardia Airport and distribute books. And so we got the news that Prabhupada had left the planet. We were all devastated. And we had kirtan all night. There was a feast the next morning. And then devotees, of course, they were tired. They were emotionally overwrought. And most of the devotees went to go take a nap. So I went to go lie down. And Pragosh came to my door. And he knocked and he said, "We can't take any rest today." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Let's go in Sankirtan, just like always." So I said, "Okay." So we got in our little station wagon, we loaded it up with books, and we went out to the LaGuardia Airport. And, of course, we were completely spaced out. We'd been up all night. Prabhupada had just left the planet. We were tired. We were emotional. And we went down the conveyor belt into the airport. I had my book, my book cart. And I got up into LaGuardia Airport, the place where I always distribute every day. And as soon as I stepped on the floor, that place where I distribute, I felt a wave of ecstasy come through my body. And I realized, this is home. And now I'm connected with Prabhupada, because I'm there, right in the same place I've always been. And I never have to be separated, because I'm connected through that yajna. So this is our... We can actually feel in our lives actual happiness by being in the center of the yajna. Go for the center of it. If there's opportunity for service, go get it. Keep your arms and your legs involved. You know, we talk about the mind and the heart and everything. Sometimes these can be philosophical. But the practical thing is, if you go cut up vegetables, if you go help move something, if you go drive a truck or a forklift for Krishna to help the festival go, you go help load the books, you go help do something. Go do something practical. Get right in the middle of the yajna. And if it's at the temple, don't take it for granted that you're saved just because you're standing on Watsaka Avenue or near the temple or whatever. Go get in the yajna. And if you're at your home, you know, get in the yajna in your home. Arrange your house. Arrange your life so that the yajna is there, because the only safe place in this universe for the tiny little soul that's dependent at every second on the mercy of the Lord is to be in yajna. So this verse is very poignant, and it's very applicable to our lives. We live by yajna. We live by being connected with Krishna. And Krishna is yajna. He is non-different from yajna. And we can't do without yajna. We will starve without yajna. The soul will starve without yajna. So we should endeavor to arrange our lives whatever way we can. Run, don't walk. But get yourself into the yajna. Arrange it somehow or other so you're in yajna. And Krishna appreciates all kinds of yajna. He's the yajnapati. And any kind of yajna, small or big, that you can do, he'll appreciate, especially if it's done with sincerity. If we don't have much, like Sudama Brahman, he didn't have much. He didn't have any wealth. He didn't have anything to offer, but he brought what he had, little chipped rice. And he didn't even want to go and ask for something from Krishna. His wife made him do it. He said, "Go. He's your friend from school. We're all poor. He's the, you know, the master of all wealth and everything. Go ask him for something." "Oh, I'll go see Krishna. I don't like this asking for anything." He didn't ask for anything. And he didn't have anything to bring. He was so poor, tattered clothes, brought a little bit of chipped rice, went into Dwarka. Everyone realized that here was the Bhakta, so they let him through, all the guards, through the gates, everything. When he came in to see Krishna, Krishna sat him down, worshipped his feet, washed his feet, sprinkled the water on his head and all the everybody else's head. And then he started doing puja, worshipping him, worshipping the Bhakta. Then they talked about the school, their school days, friends with Krishna, everything. And he was, then it was time for him to go. He said, "Didn't you bring me? You brought me something?" "No." "What's that over there?" He snatched it away. He took it. Some of this, you know, junky rice, you know, that they just found at the bottom of a little pot. That's all they had. They were so poor. They were hungry. And Krishna took that like nectar. Once, twice. And then Lakshmi Devi stopped him, said, "No, no. Take that. I'm so indebted to him already because of what you've given, because of what he's brought, with the love that he brought that I can't even repay him." So he was going home and he was thinking, it was so nice to see Krishna. His mind was, you know, diving and surfacing in this bliss of just remembering his friendship with Krishna. And then when he came back to his old place, his, you know, they had a very poor existence, but he saw the whole thing was transformed. His wife came running out, "Look what happened." Palaces, servants, and all these beautiful accoutrements in every direction. And Krishna had reciprocated that little thing, you know, offered with love and devotion for his devotee. And so, you know, Krishna's not poor. He knows what we need, everything. But he's the supplier. He's the maker and he's the breaker. You know, we're not that. He's the one. So if we concentrate on yajna and really realize the import of this, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Gyapamam Shantim Richati, we'll actually have shanti. We'll actually have peace. We'll actually feel satisfied if we realize that Krishna is the one to give everything to. Krishna is our real friend. He can protect us. And he owns everything, so we should offer it to him. Why wouldn't we? It's his. If we realize that, we'll be happy. And if not, then it's only anxiety. Everyone's in anxiety in the material world. Bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syad. It means everyone's fear is always arising in the heart of everyone. I'm going to lose what I have. As soon as you have something, you make a little money, isn't it? You get an inheritance, and immediately you're thinking, I'm going to lose it. The guy who got Barry Bonds' last home run, as soon as he got it, everyone was writing articles. Did you know that you already owe some excise tax on that ball? Yeah, he would have had to pay tax on that. He had to sell it quick just to get rid of it to pay the government, because as soon as he owned it, he already owed the government $200,000 because of the value of the ball, and there was a tax on that. That's the way the material energy works. Whatever you get, as soon as you get it, immediately there's anxiety, immediately there's fear, because we don't own anything. We can't keep it. We can't have it. So the only safe place, the only place where there's no anxiety, no stress, is in yajna. Turn towards that. Then you see a mahatma. You see a great soul who's taking everything that he or she has and offering it to Krishna. And then that's real life. This is this verse, this yajna. We have to do yajna. Hare Krishna. I'm sitting on this thing because I can't bend my knee. Doctor told me, don't bend my knee for a little while because I got some inflammation in my knee. And so I told Srinivas, you tell devotees they're like desire tree. All I did was mention to Srinivas my knee, and then I walked in tonight, there was a chair and a thing here. He went out and didn't say anything. He just went and got a chair and a thing. I don't know. Hare Krishna. This is nectar living with devotees like this. So, any other comments about these verses from Bhagavad Gita? Are we ready for some yajna? Yes? Yeah, we're ready for yajna. Let's do more yajna. Increase yajna, and the more you increase the yajna, the more you build the fire bigger, make it bigger. Sankirtan fire, the bigger. Everything good will come. We'll become satisfied. So this next yajna we have coming up, there's so many things. Everything getting ready for the yajna is also part of the Sankirtan yajna. We build for these events. This event coming up next weekend, the 19th, means we're getting in place all kinds of things so that we can have a nice Harinam. It can be organized. It can broadcast it nice and loud. And then Saturday, Sunday, so it can be organized. And everyone can have a part, cooking for it, making cookies. Jagarini Manaji already said she'll make the cookies again. Jai Haribo. And the books are all available. Rakshit Prabhu said, you can have any book you want. You just got to tell them. Any book you want to distribute, that's real opulence. You can get anything in any language, practically. He'll get it for you from any part of the world. He has the facility. He can make things happen for you. So ask Rakshit. He'll fulfill your desire for your yajna. Make your yajna as big as you like. Don't hold back. And bringing people in to Krishna consciousness, following up with these people, you can go as far as you like with that. Be very personal when you meet people on Sankirtan. Invite them to come back. Take a personal stake in it and make sure that they become, connected somehow or other. There's no formula for this. It's not a mechanical thing. It's from the heart. When we meet people, we have to take a personal responsibility to make friends with them, to make them devotees, to bring them into Krishna consciousness and show them how this life is wonderful. Prasadam is wonderful. Devotees are wonderful. Devotees are sweet. And just let them become friends and be part of this thing and chant. And we don't have to change them or do anything. Just invite them and let them be part. Radha Krishna Bolo Shange Cholo Ematra Bikachai. That's all we're begging. Just come and see Radha Krishna and be happy and take prasadam. So this is our life. Anything else? Okay, I guess we're... I want to hear one comment. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu.
Probably once you told about some verses
microphone.
That we sing in...
Probably once you told about some verses that we sing here which have mentioned about dedication to demigods. For what we knew, which one you quoted that time, in which we actually pay obeisances to...
Oh, the Brahma Sanghita. Yeah, we were in the car. We were driving to see that property the other day, and we were talking about, there's days that many Hindus worship Ganesh, and there's days that many people worship Lord Shiva and all these. And when we chant the Brahma Sanghita, we worship everything. We worship all the gods. Because they're all there. That's one of the reasons we chant Brahma Samhita every Saturday morning starting at 7:30 a.m. Be here. Don't miss this. Right? Ask the devotees who come here at 7:30. This is the real nectar to chant Brahma Samhita from the beginning to the end. Anyway, it's all there. Yat pada palava yugam vinidaya kumbha dvande pranama samaye saganadi raja vignan vidhantum alamasya jagatrayasya govindamari purusham tamaham bhajam. We worship Ganesh, Ganapati. He removes all obstacles. Why does he have the power to remove all obstacles? Because he's holding the lotus feet of Govinda on his head. That's why. We worship Shiva. We worship Durga. All of the... everyone's there in the proper perspective at the lotus feet of Lord Govinda. So that verse, Brahma Sanghita. Okay, Hare Krishna. All right, so we'll have Sankirtan Yajna. We'll have chanting for Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohanji and then Prasadam. And we'll see everybody on Saturday morning at 7:30. Come and chant the Brahma Sanghita from beginning to end, the whole thing. There's nothing like it in this world. You'll be saved from birth and death. You'll attain pure love for God by chanting the whole Brahma Sanghita. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gopri Manande Hari Hari Bol.